Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. We're re-airing one of our old favorites from a past episode today. We'll be back tomorrow with all new material. Until then, enjoy.
Now, you're going to see some animals in this show that you're not going to see anywhere else at the fair, folks. And I can tell you...
A fair itself is a unique beast. It's probably the only place you can go to admire fancy chickens, eat funnel cake, and hang upside down on a roller coaster. See the world's tiniest horse, otherwise known as getting taken for a dollar to look at a regular old mini pony. Watch a hypnotist, a juggler, and a bunch of kids who are really good at herding oxen. Meet Mrs. Vermont and potential candidates for governor. At the fair, you can buy a central vacuum system for your home at a low, low fair price. And you can eat your weight in fried onions, fried Oreos, fried clams, basically fried anything, with a candy apple at the end to keep it healthy. All this stuff is built up to entice the people, and that's what interested us. I'm Jane Lindholm, and today Vermont Edition goes to the fair. A huge cross-section of Vermonters walks through the gates at our many county fairs, old and young, new Vermonters and natives, blue-collar and white-collar. It's as much of a mishmash of people as it is of things to do and eat and see. And every single one of those people has a story to tell. This hour, you'll hear what touched us, what surprised us, and what got us laughing right out loud in one day at the Champlain Valley Fair. One way we got you talking was by setting up a game wheel at the VPR booth. Spin the wheel, get a question, and give us an answer that tells a good story. Most people we talked to spun the wheel and got real questions to answer, including some tough ones.
As long as you don't get the what you're afraid of one, I'm okay.
This is Sarah and Jess Williams, sisters from Huntington. Jess is 23, Sarah's 18. They can't stop giggling nervously.
That is too perfect. So, of course, I was afraid to get the one of you afraid of, and I got it.
But it only takes a moment for Jess to dive into what she's afraid of.
It's been a really rough journey for me and my son. He was born 2 years ago in November, and he was born with a heart condition, which is horrifying as a parent. So the anxiety of that alone has, like, even though he's good now, any little thing that little boy does is just... I don't know how most parents make it. I really don't. I have honestly felt that, you know, they need to, as soon as you come home with a baby, you need to have, like, your book of answers, and you need to have a therapy appointment, because all the anxiety that comes with being a parent, and the jumping off things he builds, and everything else of being a mom of a toddler is what I'm afraid of, even though that's my life right now.
Do you think you're more afraid because he was born with a heart condition, or do you think any mom of a toddler is going to feel that way?
I think it's both. I think it's parenting is the most horrifying and amazing thing anyone can ever do in their lives. So, yeah, I think it's
even
both.
Even as an aunt.
Like I said, lots of nervous laughter here. Jess nudges her younger sister into spinning the wheel and answering a question.
What does Vermont need? That's a really hard question for me to answer. This is totally... weird thing to bring up, but I think we need more help on the mental health industry.
I mean, she has an awesome sister trying to help her with her social anxiety.
Exactly.
We have a little exposure therapy right now.
Sarah says she's tried to get help for social anxiety. They aren't kidding. She does suffer from it. Both sisters agree that with only one community mental health provider in their area, they feel stuck if that organization can't find them help.
I've struggled with it for 10 years, so not really getting the help that I feel like I deserve or need is really, like, frustrating. And I can see where a lot of teenagers same age must struggle equally, so...
Because we've struggled with the same thing. Our dad died 10 years ago, and that's where we've had PTSD and anxiety. So I've been able to get past my social anxiety by putting myself in weird situations. So I'm like, okay, little sister, it's your turn.
Yeah, so.
Are you saying this is a weird situation?
Well, it's different.
You know, is anxious, yes.
Yeah, it's different.
Not something you've done before.
No, it's not. So...
Well, just be glad you didn't get sing a song then. That's
I probably would have skipped out. Not gonna lie.
We're talking to people we met at the fair on today's Vermont edition. Vermont has a lot of summer fairs, and some of them are true agricultural fairs, like Addison County Fair and Field Days. The Champlain Valley Fair puts more emphasis on rides, demolition derby, and concerts. But this fair has farm animals, too. Our producer, Patty Daniels, wandered into the sheep tent, and she found a young farmer who was even more impressive than the animals.
The sheep tent holds a few dozen pens of animals, and the fences are low enough that you can get a good look at those ladies making all the noise. At the center of a tent, a small, dark-colored sheep stands patiently on a metal table, getting her wool clipped.
We are all involved with 4-H, but we also have all our own show sheep here, and we're just getting this one ready for the show next weekend. My name is Siri Swanson, and I live in Orwell.
Do you always shear sheep with scissors like that?
Yeah, there's kind of two different ways. So either like this, we're clipping them with these big scissors, or we'll just slick shear them all the way to the skin with electric cutters.
Which method requires more skill?
They take two kind of completely different sets of skills, but I think slick shearing is a little more involved because you can't really hide any mistakes. So you gotta be really good at what you do.
This sheep is named Sandy, and a few days from now, she'll be paraded past a judging table. This cut is meant to show off Sandy's best features.
We want to shape her out and block her a bit, so she has, like, straight top line, straight sides. We gave her a nice muscly butt. It was a big project. We started with quite the fluff ball and brought it down to this.
Do the sheep like this?
You know, the first couple times they're not too sure about it, but after a while, they don't mind it so much.
So when you show this sheep next weekend, what will the judges be looking for?
This one is a wool breed, so they're going to check all the fleece that we left on, but they're also going to make sure they're just built correctly, so they can eat and walk around the pasture when they go home.
Are you shearing her wool a few days early, kind of like you should get a haircut a few days before a big event?
Yeah, you want to do it a little bit ahead of time so you can, you know, get any mistakes or anything. If you make a big mistake, you can have a little time to fix it.
Siri's being patient with my questions. It's clear I don't know a lot about sheep. It's also clear that Siri is pretty young. She tells me she's 16, and I wonder if she isn't supposed to be in school right now.
Yep, school started. I took a day off to be here to work more with my sheep and help out around, so...
Siri goes to Fairhaven Union High School. I ask her if her family is in farming.
Some of my family does. I own my own farm, just a small sheep farm, but my uncle is also a farmer. So that's where I kind of get my helping hand from.
What do you mean you own your own farm?
I started in 4-H, and then I got some of my own sheep, and then it kind of just turned into a business, and now I have a business plan and run it. But it's still a 4-H project in the end.
How did you write your business plan?
I was part of a program at the UVM Extension called the Youth Ag IDA. So I learned a lot about business management, how to write the plan, how to work with money, all that. So that's where I built my skills to begin with.
Right. Did I mention Siri is 16? She's also the kind of young person that politicians like to talk about. The kind who might go away to college, but who returns to live in Vermont.
I'm looking at different ag schools right now. I'm not sure what major I'm going to look at, but definitely continue with agriculture and farming as a whole.
Do you think you'll do that in Vermont?
Yeah, I want to kind of see agriculture around the country because Vermont does it a little different than, say, out west where they have ranches. But I have a feeling I'm going to end up back around to this area.
And are you going to stick with sheep?
You know, I've thought about everything. I love cows, I love pigs and goats, but I don't think I'll ever fully give up the sheep. There'll be at least a couple around.
That was sheep farmer Siri Swanson of Orwell. Back across the fairgrounds at the VPR booth, more fairgoers were spinning our wheel of questions.
I spun it a little too hard, didn't I?
A few intrepid souls took up the challenge of answering this question on the wheel. What do you have to confess? Here's Haley Carroll and Dan Cook of South Burlington.
I mean, it's nothing bad. If I had anything to confess, it's just that I don't know. We just got back together after being broken apart for 7 months. It's been 5 years on and off, you know? I mean, I guess I just feel bad for making it take so long. I don't know. It's a really crappy question.
What do you think when you hear her say that?
Makes me feel good because we're back together and we're going to make it work.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Get through any other problems we've ever had.
Yeah. Going to just take the next step. We've been kind of stuck at how comfortable we got, and now it's time to be adults, be happy.
Throughout our day at the fair, we had reporters and producers fanning out to see what they could find and record. Producer Rick Singeri was on the fair food beat. Tough gig, right? Turns out there are some characters on the food beat.
My family is has a background in meat making sausage. He was a farmer, and they made it on the farm and sold it off the farm.
You can't come to the Champlain Valley Exposition without having to stop by the iconic stand, Mr. Sausage, Stan Gumeny.
This is our 36th year here. And we did all three sausages. Most sausage stands just do Italian sausage. We do both Italian, German, and Polish. So.
Now, I'm talking to Mr. Sausage, but we're hanging out at, like, Mr. Baked Potato. So why are we at this stand?
Being that we're at the fair, we figured we'd do this baked potato stand. Unfortunately, the weather's in its 90, and when you say baked, it's not too successful. I think beer and lemonade sells quite well, you know. We missed that. We might change this into a lemonade stand. Probably would be smarter.
Rick and Mr. Sausage aren't the only ones with food on their minds. Here's Kiernan Kelleher.
What's good or bad about Vermont? I think it's good because Vermont has maple syrup. Sometimes I try putting my eggs in my syrup. It tastes really good. Kind of tastes like close to corn.
One thing Kiernan doesn't mix with maple syrup?
Ketchup.
Just ahead, more food, more spectacles, and more stories from the fair, including one producer's quest to go on the scariest ride. This is Vermont Edition.
Tiny Tim is the world's smallest horse. Tiny Tim stood just 10 inches at birth, and now...
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Every single person has a story to tell, and no place captures a cross-section of Vermonters like a summer fair does. We spent a full day at the Champlain Valley Fair talking to people and asking them to tell us a story. The first thing we noticed about Christine Sojcik, who was walking by with her teenage kids, was the bright turquoise streak in her blonde hair. She told us she wanted to reconnect with her creative side, so she's going to take a painting class. And she told us about one piece of art she created a long time ago.
When I was in my late teens, early 20s, and still at home, I decided one day that I would draw a charcoal mural on my bedroom wall at the time. And I have wonderful parents. My mother came into the room as I was drawing a 10-foot painting. And she took a look at it for a few moments, and she said, "Looks good." And then she moved on. And that was all that she had to say about it. And they still have it there to this day. This was more than 20 years ago. And if they paint that room, they paint around the mural. And they've left it there all these years. So that's an enduring piece of art, my legacy, that's gone on for years. It's something that I know that I did, that I can share with my children, and they can see it, and, you know, my parents have it, and they've threatened that if they ever think about moving, that they're going to have to take that wall down with them and not leave it.
Not far from where we talked to Christine, a crowd gathers into bleacher seats around a big blue pool. Dogs are barking with excitement, waiting their turns to jump far out into the water, chasing a frisbee. A dog named Morgan just splashed into the water with a 21-foot jump, but the announcer thinks she can do better.
Slide down a little bit there, buddy. Team Morgan, this is their second last jump. What do you say? We get loud, we make a fly out past 21 on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Come on, Morgan. Boom. just
that was so cool.
Like that. Wow, how about Morgan equaling her biggest jump of the fair? 23 feet right there, Team Morgan. Good girl, Morgan.
From the flying water dogs, we take a break from the heat by heading inside to a nearby exhibition hall. Just inside the door, we are transfixed by a massive but intricate landscape of model trains.
I'm Chris. Chris Monhey. I live in Winooski.
Chris Monhey wears a neatly trimmed gray beard and has the deliberate manner that you'd expect of someone who cares about the precision of model trains. He's with the Northwestern Vermont Model Train Club, and right now he's surrounded on all sides by a series of interlocking modules that train hobbyists have put together.
This is called a FREMO system. So each of the modules are 4 feet long, and they're 26 inches wide with two tracks down the middle. So that way there can be a flow of trains moving about the layout. But there are also siding tracks for switching and for visual interest.
Chris says there might be 100 train cars running simultaneously in this huge display. The scale of this model is 1/87th of real trains. Train enthusiasts called this an HO size. The trains chug through replica Vermont towns like Bellows Falls, circa 1950.
The Bellows Falls passenger station, that's a brick building, is still in use by Amtrak. And the Robertson Paper Building is still there, still has that name.
People lean in to peer at the detailed lettering on the train cars and painted grain silos and miniature downtown buildings. The model trains are set up at chest height for most adults, so kids clamber up wooden steps to get a better look. Trains caught Chris's imagination when he was just 4 or 5 years old. It was the late 1950s, and he remembers where he first saw a model train.
Oh, this was in New York City at Bloomingdale's. Years ago, there would be seasonal marketing effort by train manufacturers to display things, say, in December. And that would stimulate some interest, and it certainly did for me. By the early 60s, some of these marketing efforts were stopped because there were other toys of interest. But whether or not there have been displays at Christmas time, kids see trains in one way or another. And they just have kind of a magic to them, I think, that that gets people's interest.
We wander back to VPR's fair booth, and the spinning game wheel is doling out questions for fairgoers to answer. How did you get to Vermont? What are you an expert in? And the question that Bill Torrey of West Bolton answered.
Who is your best friend?
Bill starts to tell us about his best friend, Art. But he says that's a nickname because Art is a real piece of work. Bill is retired. He has a graying goatee, and he says he and Art met in third grade in Essex Center. He and Art were like brothers by the time they left high school.
Both went to Vermont Tech for one semester, and then we quit. I got a 2.9, Art got a 2.8, and 3.0 will get you on the dean's list. I quit because I couldn't do it. I couldn't live the life of the mundane. You know, go to college, get a job, get a wife, raise a family, and grow old and die. I just couldn't do it.
Bill and Art both left for Maine and did a 6-month course at a logging camp. Bill says their 2-man team worked faster and better than most of the 3-men teams they were with.
We were logging together back here in Vermont, and we were cutting on a ridge up in Eden. And I was the cutter, Art was the buncher, which means he drove a small bulldozer with a winch on it, and he would hook a choker onto the trees, and at the trees I cut and bunch them up to the main skid road. He got 80 cents a tree to bunch, I got 80 cents a tree to cut. Big money. And, of course, in 77, that was big money. One of my jobs was I had to girdle trees, too, which means taking my chainsaw and going around in a circle about 2 inches deep and killing trees at the Forester Mark. I get paid 10 cents for girdling. So I went and I girdled that tree and came back down. I'm cutting down below there on the flat. And I'd forgotten all about that tree. It was a huge, big old beech. And I'm down below cutting another tree, and I never realized that, but I'm down below this girdled tree I'd cut. And I'm limbing it out, and Art's hooking a choker onto the butt of it. I didn't know it when I girdled it, but that tree was hollow. So when I girdled it, I'd cut everything that was keeping it standing. Now Art's hooking a choker on it about 30 feet away from me, and he just happens to look up and he sees that tree just give a little shudder and then starts to fall right on top of us. Now I'm about 30 feet away, I got my back to him, I got an ear protection, I got my saw screaming full. There's no way or time for him to warn me. And if he just ran like 20 feet away, he'd have been safe. But he didn't. He ran towards me under that man killer, grabbed me in just a running tackle right around the short ribs here, carried me for about probably two or three steps till he lost his footing, but he didn't lose his grip on me. And when we hit the ground, he just kept me rolling, and that tree just came pounding right down on our heels. I had to get up, and I just had to sit on a stump for a while. I was just shaking. And I just, and I just told him, I said, "Art, you saved my life." And he said, "Oh, you'd have done it for me, Willie. Saved me from a gruesome, grisly death." Yeah, that's why we're best friends.
Bill Torrey is tearing up as he remembered that day in the woods nearly 35 years ago. He says Art died of an illness in 2010, and he regrets that he could never return the favor. Those huge exhibition halls at the Champlain Valley Fair are a fascinating place to wander. It's where you find the giant pumpkin, rows of hot tubs for sale, displays of leather purses, lots of vendors trying to pick out a paying customer in the crowd.
My name is Drew Tolbert. I'm from Jeffersonville, Vermont, and I'm just here to get people stoked on smugs.
The Smuggler's Notch booth has videos on repeat of people skiing and riding. Drew and his coworker are pushing job applications for seasonal workers. He's got a polished delivery, and we asked him, who wrote the talking points they used to get the Smuggler's Notch message across?
Yeah, I kind of actually put that together myself, so I've been giving the instruction on it, and I mean, it's pretty straightforward. All we need to do is talk about how much we love our jobs at Smugs, and hopefully that passes on to other people and they want to join us. So it's a piece of cake when you love what you do.
And that's a theme we heard from other salespeople at the fair. You really have to love what you're selling to sell it well. Like this man, Gerald Matta.
From William, Massachusetts. Small town, big people.
Matta says he retired as a police officer in Brockton, Massachusetts, and he's been selling Electrolux vacuum cleaners ever since.
Now I meet the good people, so the bad.
What does it take to be a good salesman?
I can't say for sure. You have to be able to read the people and give them the proper price, give them show them the value, and just go for it.
Matta's old school. Slacks and a button-down shirt, no scuff marks on his leather shoes. He has trim gray hair. He gives me his pitch.
Central vacuum system from Electrolux. We've been in business since 1924, before me, believe it or not. Okay? Longest hose in the industry. Suction is great. Okay? That would pull your mic in if you didn't hold on to it. Feel that. Okay. 6-gallon tank, 6 horsepower. Best vacuum you can get, longest hose, as I said before, in the industry, all the tools you need.
What's the price tag?
Price tag, ordinarily, $1,999. That's $1,999, yep.
How does coming to a fair like this help you sell? Do you actually sell here?
Oh, definitely. We sell many, many, many. But it's exposure. People don't always see it, out of sight, out of mind. So we do all the shows. Big E in Massachusetts. This one, many, 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 many home shows. And the store in Burlington is the place to go if you want to buy it locally. Obviously, we have uprights, we have canisters, hand vacs, car vacs, whatever you need.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it 19 years. Company's been in business since 1924.
Do you like it?
I love it. It's a quality product, and people want to get the dirt off the floor, and this is the only one that really digs the way it should. It's just the best there is.
Do you like your job?
Yes. Not necessarily the bosses, but yes. Very good job.
I'm too old for this.
So far in our day at the fair, we've seen some animals, we've eaten some great fair food, and we've checked out what's for sale. So what's missing? Rides. Bill Giroux and his sister Liz Philbrick grew up in Burlington, and coming to the fair was an annual event for them as kids. But Liz hasn't forgotten the time Bill threw up on her on a ride.
Yeah, like, you know, literally and sick, you know, with the chunks and everything, yeah. After we had had, you know, a hot dog or whatever. You know.
Up and down, and oh my goodness, and, you know, it made you pretty sick. Especially after you'd eaten that sausage or something.
Fair enough. This is probably not good for the radio. Well, she's going to edit it.
One of our producers boldly told us that no ride at the fair scares her. So we sent her out to prove it.
Hello, my name is Annie Russell. I'm here at the Champlain Valley Fair. So right now, I am looking for the scariest ride that I can go on. You guys, was that ride scary? I'm trying to find the scariest ride I can go on. Is this in the running?
Zipper.
Zipper? Where's that?
Zipper sounds like it's going to fall apart, and it will literally throw your head at the ground when it comes around.
Oh, okay, so I got to go check it out.
So the Zipper is a tall, rotating band that has a bunch of tiny metal cages attached to it. You're locked in the cage with one other person, and the cage itself spins around and around. I met up with 9-year-old Alan Gibbons from Essex Junction, and his parents let me take him on the Zipper.
Okay, so we're going right now. I'm here with Alan. Are you scared?
No.
No? So right now we're just kind of waiting. We're in this little cage, and this is Alan's first big ride. Oh my gosh.
In there, buddy.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So we made it. Let's get a recap. How was that?
Fun.
Fun? I was not expecting it to be that crazy. It was like we were upside down. We were going, my keys came out of my pocket and I caught them in midair. That happened. All right. Well, thanks for riding with me.
Thank you back.
Is that fun? Cool.
Thanks for being willing to be part of the
ride with you.
Yeah.
You're dying of thirst. You got to have something to drink, and you might as well get lemonade while you're at the fair.
I prefer the freshly squeezed myself. Hey, my name's Oliver Wood. I'm from Colchester, Vermont. It's a fun job working here. We get to shake every one of the lemonades.
Oh yeah, that's perfect. Oliver, there is a key to drinking your lemonade so it tastes best. How's that?
Well, yeah, there's really a difference if you drink with the straw or not. If you drink with the straw, you get the lemonade on the bottom, which still has all the little bits of sugar that didn't quite shake in. And if you just sip off the top, you get all the water that just melted from the cubes. And there's the lemonade.
Heading back over to the VPR booth at the fair, we met Mikey Weirsbicki of Burlington and Emily Krasno of Charlotte. Mikey was wearing hipster glasses and a trucker hat that read, Stay Lame.
No whammies, right?
And then he revealed his darkest secret to our producer.
Oh, man. Anything to confess? I like a lot of pop music that I shouldn't.
That sounds like a little bit of a dodge.
Definitely not a dodge. That's huge. I like Madonna. Yeah. Yep. Definitely like Madonna. Cyndi Lauper. I do it behind closed doors at my house. Yeah, yeah, I pull out my cassettes and I just put them on and listen to it, yeah. Now my secret's out. Oh, well.
Did you know about this secret?
Yes.
What about that?
Oh, yeah, you said, yes, I did. Everyone knows.
Everyone knows, Mikey, everyone knows. More confessions and stories from the fair, just ahead on Vermont Edition. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We're spending the day at the fair today, the Champlain Valley Fair. And so far this hour, we haven't had nearly enough greasy fair food. Here's producer Rick Singeri.
All right. You come to the fair. There are all sorts of things to try. But this is a new one. What in the heck is a deep-fried taco?
It's a 12-inch tortilla flour wrap with a taco tomato seasoning. Beef or chicken with lettuce, tomato, cheese and then sour cream, a taco sauce, and then a special seasoned sour cream sauce as well, rolled up in a beer battered deep fried. It's been a huge hit this year.
What were you thinking when you came up with it?
Well, I was thinking we watched all kinds of shows and different carnivals and stuff until we found something that made sense, that we could make fast. Nobody likes to wait.
You're a genius, man.
When everything goes smoothly during a busy day at the fair, you can thank a team of people behind the scenes who keep the place running. People like Chris Ashby.
Hi, I'm Chris Ashby from the Champlain Valley Fair.
Chris is a man who wears many hats, as he explained to our producer, Patty Daniels.
Depends on the day. I'm everything from director of operations to public relations to marketing and communications. It really depends on what the day is.
What might come over that radio you're wearing on your shoulder?
Anything from concession problems to grandstand opening times to parking issues, pretty much anything. That's how they track me down. I have to have both, a phone and a radio, otherwise I escape.
Tell me how the fair changes over the course of the day. What do you expect in the morning that won't happen at night and vice versa?
Obviously, traffic patterns are different, particularly during the week. During the week, the mornings are much mellower than the nights are. We get most of our traffic in the evening, and that also is weather-based somewhat. When on hot days, we get much more traffic in the evening because people would rather be at the lake or someplace nice and cool like that as opposed to the fair, and then they come in at 6 o'clock or so, have dinner, and have a great evening. So patterns like that change. Food consumption changes.
The beer consumption changes?
Somewhat, yes. The beer, well, I don't drink on the job, but yes, I assume everybody else's beer consumption changes as much as I'd like to. I'm a little sleep-deprived, so a beer would be a problem.
How long have you been doing this job?
I've been here 10 years.
What's the craziest thing you've ever seen or had to deal with at the fair?
Oh, that's a hard call. I mean, even this year we've had some fun things. We had a steer who decided he didn't like the cow next to him in the barn and wanted to go out through the wall, not through the opening at the other end of his stall, so that was a little exciting. During Hurricane Irene, we had the ponies got out of their pen and decided to parade around the grounds on their own. That was a lot of fun to round them up. I don't know. We've had some crazy stuff. It's the fair. You know, everything happens here. It's Vermont's biggest little city for 10 days of the year. On any given day, you know, weekend days on a really crowded day, we might see 30,000 people in a day here. So, yeah, it really does become one of the bigger cities for a day or two. Weekdays, obviously, are less. Kids at school, things like that. I mean, ideally, we'd love to have school move back to after Labor Day. Not that we want to diminish education at all. We're all about education. But it would be nice if all the kids could come during the week, too.
So when you talk about crazy things happening at the fair, it sounds like the animals are your biggest problem, not the people?
Oh, no. People do crazy things, too. Oh, yeah, we have lots of crazy things, you know, from people sneaking in late at night with their dates to take them down the slide at 3 in the morning, which I never really quite considered all that romantic, but, you know, to each their own.
Any babies born at the fair?
Not that I know of, not in recent years. We've been debating having a wedding, though. We think a wedding on the Midway would be lots of fun. Just think about that. You could have the ceremony at the top of the Ferris wheel. You could have a meal of all kinds of fried stuff. It would be great fun. Come on, you'd enjoy that.
What's your favorite part about your job?
Oh, the people. You know, if you look through some of our Facebook pictures and just walk around the grounds, I love the people and what we do for people. There's a delight and almost a kid that comes out of everybody who comes here, and that's why we do it. It's, you know, it's an opportunity to share in Vermont's agricultural heritage and explore that with people a little bit and reconnect them with that because there is a disconnect, but also just for people to come out and relax and have a good time in the great weather before the summer's over.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show you are about to see is a combination of many years of relentless practice and virtually no social life.
We walked by a small concrete outdoor area just as this show was beginning. A couple dozen people sat on low metal bleachers as a man in shorts and a polo shirt balanced an enormous extension ladder on his chin.
Here he is, all the way from backstage, Jason Tardy!
Tardy describes himself as a high-energy juggler and comedic performer. He'll do 28 shows over the 10 days at the Champlain Valley Fair. He juggles knives and all kinds of dangerous-looking weapons. He does balancing tricks. He puts out fire in his mouth. And the whole time, he keeps a shtick going with the audience, as if to say, I'm going to hype this up, but I know that you know that I know that that's what I'm doing. We're all in on the joke together.
Here on this fabulous Las Vegas-style stage.
Anytime I perform, my motto is to have fun. So the way I look at it is I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to make myself laugh. I'm going to say jokes that I think are funny, and usually the audience thinks they're funny too.
Yes! Amazing!
Amazing! That was amazing. You guys clapped that much for that trick. It really wasn't that good. Some of you meant that. I appreciate it. I think some of you were just giving me pity applause. I'll take what I can get, all right?
But most of the time, the audience just puts themselves in your shoes. So the more fun you have as a performer, the more fun they're going to have. Some days is definitely harder than others. And what I try to do is to remember that motto of just having fun. And sometimes I don't. You know, sometimes I'm not making eye contact with the audience because I'm just, like, not feeling it. And there's a big difference. You know, the audience still comes up and goes, that show is awesome. But inside, I knew I could have done a better job. And the best way to deal with it really is just to drop it and just be present. Be there with the audience and not think about everything else. And actually, I do a lot of shows with my brother. And we do stuff where we're passing knives and passing fire. And we've learned pretty quickly that if you have any argument before the show, let it go and do the show because someone's going to get hurt. And even when I'm doing stuff by myself, I do some dangerous stuff and I can really get hurt. You know, it happens. No matter who you are, if you juggle knives, juggle fire, you're going to get hurt eventually.
Let me show you why this is so. You guys ready? Dangerous! Oh! Yeah! So
I have been juggling for 21 years. So I started when I was 15. I graduated from high school. It's the only job I've ever had. I think what I love about my job the most is that I get to make people happy. And maybe mine isn't as important as other people's jobs, but I think making people laugh and letting them forget about their problems, that's really cool. And, you know, make the world a better place in my own little way.
For more information about Jason Tardy and his show, visit jasontardy.com. Not the most creative name for a website, but hey, it works.
Mom, Dad, kids, you can all play here. It's a family game. It's a fun game.
Walk down the midway at the fair, and there are a lot of games vying for your attention. One booth has a wall of balloons, and you throw darts to try to pop them.
3 for 5 or 7 for 10, you get a prize every time. Win or lose, you get a pitcher. Prize every time.
That's Bernice Hicks from Lansing, Michigan. She's been doing this work for 30 years. She says she likes her job because she gets to travel, and her husband and son travel with her. They also work at the fair. But on the day we talked, she wasn't liking the Champlain Valley Fair.
Because it's pretty dead. You see the midway? They said it was big as Syracuse, but it's not. The weekend was all right, but the weekdays are kind of weak. I work on commission, so if they don't play my game, I don't make any money. That's reason why I'm upset today.
The shelves behind Bernice have framed photographs displayed. Win or lose, you get to take home a picture. Some are characters from Frozen, Minions, Star Wars. Some are pictures of large-breasted women. But she says those aren't so popular.
They don't take too many of them, not here.
Bernice says those pictures are popular in Syracuse.
Win or lose, you get a picture. Prize every time.
The Champlain Valley Fair attracts people from all over the region, but also a lot of visitors from far away. Rosalinda Jordan lives in West Texas, near the town of Marfa. She talked to our reporter, Alex Keefe.
Nowadays, Marfa, Texas has a reputation as a bit of a hipster oasis, a tiny town beneath the big blue Texas sky where artists and designers search for inspiration in the desert. But Rosalinda says growing up near Marfa, she associated it with one thing.
Smart lights.
What lights?
They're smart lights.
Smart lights. I'll let Rosalinda explain here.
When I was a little girl, we used to go into the field and they were just bouncing little balls of lights, you know, and you chase them and they followed you, you chase them, they followed you, and then they disappear.
Like a little, like how big is the light?
Well, they can be small, they can be large, they change into size.
Put me in the scene, like you're sitting in a field.
See that little light bulb over there?
Yeah.
They're just like that.
But they move.
They bounce around.
Like on the ground?
On the ground, yes. They just show up out of nowhere and they just bounce around and they surround you and follow you.
So you can like play with them almost.
Chase them to the cars, we'll get out of the cars and follow them. And you can get close to it, but you can't touch it. They never let you touch it.
Rosalinda says there are a lot of theories about the Marfa lights. Indian spirits, minerals, even ghosts of pilots from the airbase that used to be there. But for her?
Personally, I think they're from outer space.
That's your theory?
Yes, that's my theory.
So what makes you think they're from space versus, say, a ghost or some natural explanation?
Well, because according to some people, when they came up close to them, they apparently saw the figure of an alien, and they got scared. And they dropped their equipment, their cameras, and everything, and they never went back. They never went back. Never, 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 never.
Rosalinda says there's actually now a visitor center in Marfa, Texas, for people who are chasing the lights. There's even a Marfa Lights Festival there. But nowadays, Rosalinda says, when you go into the field where the lights live, you have to stand behind a fence. There's more traffic, more people. It's harder to see them. Rosalinda believes the Marfa lights have retreated, gone into hiding, into the mountains of West Texas.
When you walk into the Champlain Valley Fair from the big dirt parking lot, turn left and then right, and you'll find yourself on the front porch of the Maple Sugar House. The place was loud with cotton candy machines running at full tilt when our producer Rick stopped by.
The smell of maple. And how did you get this job of making the maple cotton candy?
My neighbor talked me into it, you know? I'm retired, so he said, hey, you have nothing to do today. Why don't you go out and help out?
And tell me your name.
Gary Dean, Colchester.
So before today's gig, how much experience in cotton candy making did you have?
Zero.
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 But we can trust you with this, right?
That's right. That's right.
So do you understand the physics of what you're doing here?
Yeah, we're spinning off the sugar. We put in the raw sugar with some maple in it, spin it off, and it makes these fine threads. And the trick is to get them out of here before they hit something that's hot and going to burn them up.
Maple-flavored everything is easy to find around here. But one of the questions we asked people during our day at the fair was, what does Vermont need? One guy told us lower property taxes. A woman pushing two kids in a stroller said public swimming pools and also a Target store. And then we asked this variation on the question.
Good and bad about Vermont. What's good and bad about Vermont?
This is Deborah Wright of Essex Junction. She has a lot of good things to say about Vermont, the seasons, the farms, the people. But what's bad?
What comes to mind is when people are so picky about how you qualify to be a Vermonter. Because it's a way of life. It's not a birthright. There's plenty of people born here that are Vermonters.
What about you?
Well, I have seven generations behind me in the ground on my dad's side and four on my mother's side, but they happened to be living in Connecticut when I was born, you know, but I grew up here, so.
So this cuts for you. It feels personal.
That's what I think, yeah. I mean, being born here and all that isn't as imperative as how you are, yeah.
So for you, what does being a Vermonter mean then?
It's caretaking of the land and the people around you, kind of what it is.
All day long, we kept bumping into a wandering trio of musicians, the Dixieland Strollers. Extremely jovial guys playing a banjo, a cornet, and a tuba. When they stopped by our booth, one of them, Paul Monat, took a spin on the wheel and got this question.
Who's your best friend? I don't know. To be honest, she's divorcing me October 8th, but she's still my best friend in my mind.
No, and tell him the truth.
I'd have to think about that. Let me see. A banjo player, one of the best banjo players I know, brilliant player. His name is Mike Hashem. So I guess I'd have to say today my best friend is the banjo player. As he's paying the bills.
The Dixieland Strollers say playing the fair is special. They joke they play a lot of Walmart parking lots. Day at the fair. Today's Vermont edition was created by a bigger production team than usual, including Rick Singeri, Sam Gail Rosen, Chris Albertine, Melody Baudette, Angela Evansy, Alex Keefe, and Annie Russell. Our executive producer, Patty Daniels, produced and edited today's program. Thank you to the Champlain Valley Fair, and most of all to the people who opened up and told us their stories. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Oh, oh, oh. Thank you.